All right, well, welcome to episode 13 of Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug, Ultima on the Go. We're actually going to be talking about ways to get the Ultima games up and running on mobile devices, which, at least if you're running iOS and Android, is relatively easy in the case of Ultimas 1 through 8, thanks to the magic that is DOSBox. However, I will be discussing one thing on Android that I haven't had a chance to fully explore and haven't managed to actually get this working yet, but might just be a way to run Ultima 9. So, before we begin, I'm joined tonight by a couple of great people. We, of course, have Linguistic Dragon with
Hello,
us.
Hello, Linguistic Dragon here, author of the Ultima Journeys blog.
Yeah, and we also have Gradia Dragon. He was able to join us this evening, which is really, really great.
Hey there. Good evening, everyone.
All right, so it's actually been, it's been a couple of weeks since the last time we did a recording, and most of the reason for that was that I actually took a vacation, so I wasn't on the codex much, apart from doing a little bit of comments moderation behind the scenes. Big shout out and thanks actually to Browncoat Jason and Golem Dragon for keeping the site. They both posted some content there.
Woo!
Yeah, that was really, really great, actually. I mean, Golem Dragon, I believe, had a gallery or something that he posted, yeah? And of course, Browncoat covered Crowfall, and he covered, what was the other one? Oh yeah, the Bard's Tale. That was his other thing that he was looking at, really. Projects he has backed significantly, whereas, yeah, Golem had the Shroud of the Avatar updates, and he did a thing about, I just actually want to pull it up here and look at it so I get it right. Oh yeah, and someone posted about Nistel's Patreon too, which is cool. And then there was the interview with Broadsword. Right. Okay, cool. So, there were the things that happened on the Codex while I was away, but yes, I was talking with Sirgorn Dragon, actually, about the vacation itself, and it's always interesting comparing notes, because, of course, he lives in France, and so, you know, whereas I live in Canada, and, you know, so for me to hop in the car and drive, the total trip distance was about 2,800 kilometers. Okay. Which, you know, for me is no big deal, but for him to drive 1,400 kilometers one way would put him like, several countries over. You know, I don't even know if Napoleon got quite that far, but you know, just I enjoyed talking about it with him because, you know, just the scale, the relative scale and distance.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
It does. I mean, Canada, we got wide open spaces. You go 1,200 clicks and you're a province over, for sure. That's about the distance between Edmonton and Vancouver. But it's, you know, and even then you've like barely touched the country, right? Like there's still whole bunch of provinces to the other side. Anyways, so that was good. My wife has family out in Vancouver. I have family out in Vancouver. I got to see like my aunt and my cousins, who I haven't seen actually since my wedding. And that was really great because, you know, their kids and our kids just like hit it right off. That was awesome. got to see, you know, my wife's sister, some of her aunts and cousins. It was, my grandparents, they live on Vancouver Island. You know, my grandpa's the guy who introduced me to Ultima, you know, Ultima 6, playing it on the computer in his basement. So, it's definitely a really great
family
trip.
Reunion.
Much needed. Yeah, much needed. And now there's a huge posting backlog for the codex. I've got...
Isn't there always?
Ton of... True, but at least now I track it better, you know. I'm going to have to, like, do a podcast, I think, about some of the online tools I use at some point, or just, like, throw it in, because it's a pretty slick setup, I think, that I've managed to set up for myself now. So I'm happy about that. But, enough about that. Before we jump into the topic, linguistics, since last time, anything interesting?
Not particularly from my end. I've just been... whacking away at the writer's block I've been dealing with the past several weeks. Finally had a breakthrough, and now I can actually get back to playing Ultima 6, which is good, because I'm finally getting to the parts of the game that I haven't played before. So I'm... I'm understandably eager.
Yeah, you've freed, what, like 7 shrines now, right? So you're...
I actually had a session earlier this week, made it through both Magincia and Moonglow, and all the shrines are freed now, about to get started on tracking down map pieces and raring to go.
Yeah, that is the, that is my favorite second act in any game either, because it's totally not necessary to pass the game. You should still do it
for completionism's
sake, you know, because that would be fitting with the thing of your blog. But yes, for future reference, if you ever want to speedrun Ultima 6, you don't have
skip
to mess
it entirely
with the pirate map at all. You don't even have to go into that. Exactly. You don't actually have to do that at all. It is totally not critical to passing the game. So. And Gradia, we have not seen you in a little while. I mean... Our recording schedule, of course, is a little bit turbulent and doesn't always line up with your work schedule, and that's unfortunate, but it's really great to see you here tonight. So, before we dive in, anything really interesting that you want to talk about that's happened to you since the last time you were on?
Nice!
Well, I've been promoted in my job. Yeah. I've been working hard to... These days it has been quite heavy because of a few game releases and stuff, so we have to make sure everything works.
Oh,
and
yeah,
there was the demos for E3, and we had to make sure everything was working. And now these demos for E3, now they want to show them on other places, USK,
Well, an SDCC is going on right now.
We've been having tackling trouble after trouble, one issue after another, but it's been fine. And right now, my shift partner is he's no longer a rookie, but I feel he still needs more experience on problem solving and troubleshooting. So I usually give him since I'm the boss, I give him the routine tasks and I take care of the complicated stuff.
Yeah.
It's been heavy.
Yeah, I don't doubt. Yeah, because this is kind of, I mean, this is conference season, right? Like, you've got the E3s, and it's the San Diego Comic-Con going on right now, and I know that, you know, that's definitely more generalized. It's not as, you know, it's not a gaming industry thing specifically, but I know that a lot of game companies do still have contingents that go down there. So, and then, of course, the Europe.
Yeah, today we had an issue with the title. And I ran the diagnosis, and I saw that login and everything was fine, and our internal testing from within our network infrastructure and with the Xbox One kits, the development kits and everything, it was working. But the external users were not getting to connect to one of the servers from the 3 servers. And we checked, the firewall was good, the access control lists were good, everything looks good, and we're able to connect from within the internal network, and from within internet IPs from the company, but the users, the players,
weird.
Just camped. And we don't know why.
That's weird. I mean, unless... I don't know. If you can connect from company internet, I mean, it shouldn't be a routing issue, but maybe? I don't know. Doesn't make sense, but,
I think the users are connecting from Amsterdam, the dev kits, and or from London, and the data center is located in Dublin. The servers are in Dublin, and the players can connect to two of the servers, and the third server is just not responding.
Oh dear.
All three servers are in the same data center.
That doesn't make sense, yeah. Oh well. Such mysteries do keep us employed.
There we go.
I am not in the gaming industry, but I have had analogous struggles with the servers at work. you know, where I do work, it's connections are Anyways. That's cool. Actually, Gridia, too, I wanted to ask your opinion on one thing. Sorry, I keep distracting us from topic, and I promise we'll get to it here soon. But I wanted to ask, and, you know, I mean, the Kickstarter's long since over, but there was that Castlevania spiritual sequel that was just Kickstarted recently. And I remember you had mentioned Castlevania in a few, in one of the earlier episodes. Did you back that? Did you have any thoughts on that one? Crap, what was that one called? Bloodstained Symphony of the Night? Something like that?
That's Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, I think. And, well, I was under some economical issues, and I didn't get to back
pity.
That. I backed.
Good man.
Well, that's good too. Yeah, that's good too. Okay. Well, I don't know. Are they doing like post Kickstarter crowdfunding too?
I haven't checked yet, but I saw that they hit
That was
their
awesome.
Stretch goals, including. And I read about it being the best funded game on Kickstarter.
I think it currently holds that record, although I haven't checked what Shenmue has.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of that would have beat it out, if anything has.
And they... nearly 4 million.
No, it would have gotten over 4 million. Well, heck, I mean... Hey, look, I have an internet.
Oh, hey, imagine that!
I can,
And they didn't have a planned Wii U version, a Wii U port, and one of their stretch goals was that. That was for 3.5 million. And they were at 2.5, and in just a couple of days they reached
Yeah, they just blew it out of the water. okay, here we go. June 12th, so yeah, a little over, or about a month ago, sorry, rather, successfully raised $5,545,992 with 64,867 backers. Shenmue currently is at $4.6 million with 52,500 backers. 6 days to go.
I was going to ask that next. Oh boy, that's going to be a tight race.
yeah. So that's really cool. Oh, sorry, I should have clicked through and see if... Well, actually, you know what? Let's take a look. We got another minute here. Bloodstained Kickstarter. All the searching. Do we have a project 5.5 website?
5.5 million campaign? Achieved.
Created by... Do we have a website? I don't actually see one listed here. I mean, I see the creator listed. Maybe if I click on him, igvania.com, maybe that'll tell me something. Oh, no, that just redirects to the Kickstarter.
Maybe right now they don't have post-Kickstarter crowdfunding going on.
Maybe that'll happen, because that does seem to be a thing with games these days. Well, so that's cool. Yeah, that one, that set a ton of records, so that's cool. Yep.
5.5 million.
That's better than Torment, that's better than Pillars of Eternity, that's better than Star Citizen did on Kickstarter. You know, Star Citizen has gone on to raise, you know, another, what, 83 million on top of what they got on Kickstarter, but that's a separate issue. Huh. Well, that's cool. I thought it was so funny, because that one came out, that one came to light, like, shortly before, I know you, Grudia had talked a ton about Castlevania, and then Kevin had his comments on it too, and then, like, you know, a few weeks later, it's just like, oh, crap, here's a spiritual sequel being kickstarted right now, and then I kept kind of putting a little thing in the show notes to, you know, talk about it, and then stuff kind of happened. You know, Kevin had some issues that he had to deal with, and we couldn't always record on a night where you could join us, and it's just like, ah, we're gonna miss this window. But so there we go. All right, one last digression. Starting off with, you know, thanking new patrons. I mean, I've already given shout outs to Browncoat and Golem, and that's awesome what they did. But there have been a few new patrons that have added their support to the Ultima Codex Patreon campaign over the last couple of weeks. So much so, actually, that the first funding goal of that campaign has been met. Yeah. Now, Patreon, of course, take their share of the monthly funds. I mean, the service does have to make money somehow, and they do that by taking a percentage. So what comes to me doesn't actually quite cover the hosting costs of the Codex, you know, contra what I said on the campaign page, but it certainly helps, and I'm counting it as such. So, a big shout-out and a note of thanks to Cody, Richard, as in Garriott, Style Tekel, George, and Thorwan. We're on the second funding tier now, so I've updated the slider on the Ultima Codex sidebar, and if we hit that tier, I'll be able to give the Codex server a much-needed upgrade, adding to its processing power, memory, and storage. Which should be good, because actually right now I'm hosting some of my larger files on some space that's been graciously donated. But, you know, that's on a completely different server. So, and I'm thankful for that. I'm very grateful for that. But it would be nice to, you know, be able to pull everything onto the one server. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe use the, I don't know, I can either release the space back to the person providing it. Zygon Dragon is the guy there. So a shout out to Zygon as well for his gracious help in that respect. Yeah. Anyways, so let's dive finally into the topic for this evening, which is getting the Ultima games running on mobile devices. Because let's face it, mobile devices are kind of ubiquitous these days. And, you know, apart from the, dumb phones, as it were, which, I mean, you know, actually, those are still a big thing in Japan.
Hey, I still have one of those. Phones so.
In Japan. Yep. but Android devices, are, you know, everywhere. Apple devices are everywhere. BlackBerry still kind of exists. Windows Phone exists, although Microsoft did just do that big write-down, their Nokia acquisition. A lot of people lost their jobs from that, unfortunately. but anyways, actually, let's just get Windows Phone out of the way. There do not seem to be any effective DOSBox options for Windows Phone at this time.
Well, that was easy.
So, unfortunately... Yeah, I know, right?
Nintendo if, is talking about mobile recently.
Say what, sir?
Nintendo is talking about mobile recently.
You mean in terms of... sorry, I haven't actually followed that news. Are they talking about in terms of, like, publishing their games on mobile, which actually I think I had heard a rumor about? Or are they talking about actually, like, developing new mobile hardware?
But I understood that more like they are developing their own platform.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Not sure. Not really sure. But... The Reggie mentioned about Nintendo going through a transformation these days, and they said they would start getting into the mobile market, and there is talk about their new platform, Nintendo NX, I think, but they haven't revealed anything. They just threw the words about their new console, Nintendo NX, or their new platform, but they didn't go into specifics.
Although you actually did just remind me that I have to add a couple of little notes to the article, because I totally forgot to look up, and it turns out they're actually... Well, you know what? We'll get to that. I'm going to just drop some links into the show notes, and we will talk about those in a little bit. All right. So, right, diving right in. I actually just recently switched from iOS to Android. and, you know, these are certainly, I think, the most common smartphone platforms. So let's start with them. Because I was on iOS before, I've actually already written up a fair bit about this, having amply experimented with iDOS and iDOS 2, which are the two apps really to look to if you want to run DOS games of any sort. But of course, in particular, we're talking about the Ultima titles here on an iDevice. iDOS is the older version. I don't think it's actually seen really a lot of significant update for a couple of years now, but you know, iDOS 2 is the newer version, developed by a developer who goes by the handle Litchi. And what to say about it? This one's actually kind of had a storied history, because I mean, iDOS was released, you know, it was actually fairly short-lived in its first release on the iOS App Store before being summarily yanked off by Apple. They kind of have this thing about emulators, or actually, the specific issue they have is applications which execute other applications within themselves. That used to be a really big hang-up for them. And actually, iDOS 2 was released first back in 2011 and was summarily pulled down less than a week later. The developer went on to release Emula Oldies S, which was kind of it was another DOSBox port, but it was more locked down. It was actually a lot harder to add games to them. It wasn't impossible, but it was a lot more difficult. But then just, you know, all of a sudden, sometime in late 2014, iDOS and iDOS 2 reappeared. I don't know if that was because there was a policy change on Apple's part or what the deal was, but they became available on the App Store, and for the quite reasonable price of 99 cents. And iDOS 2 in particular had received, you know, a full modernization. So it was, you know, compatible with the latest OS level. It had a new full keyboard built in, full screen support for the iPhone 5 or better. I mean, obviously, up to the iPhone 5S, the screen is, you know, smaller. I mean, there's smaller phones. So, you know, certainly there's some advantage to playing on an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus. you get more screen real estate. It's a little easier to, you know, see things and manipulate things in some of these older games. Yeah, and I actually did write up, and it is actually still one of the most heavily trafficked articles. It is like consistently one of the articles on the Codex that gets the most daily traffic, funnily enough. which is, you know, simply I just wrote up the DOSBox emulator iDOS 2 is back in the iOS App Store, and I have Ultima 6 running in it. That's the article title. And in it, you know, I just go through the steps to get Ultima 6 running. And, I mean, people are taking that and running with it, obviously, for other games that they want to play. And that's great. I'm glad that it's a useful resource for people. But, yeah. So, the thing about this is, you actually... So, I mean, again, iDOS and iDOS 2, they're both available on the iOS App Store. The thing about it is, you can't just... like, you can download them, and they ship with... I think iDOS 2 comes with Duke Nukem, the demo, for the original game, side-scroller, and then Haunted Mansion. to transfer other games into it, you need another utility. You don't actually have to be jailbroken, because the fold... some of the app folders within iOS are... publicly exposed. So there's utilities like iFunbox, which is what I mentioned in my article, which, you know, you can connect your iPhone and they can read the public application directories. Okay. And so what you need is you actually need iFunbox. And it's not, iFunbox isn't the only option out there. It just happens to be the one that I find, you know, gets consistently updated and tends to work very, very well. So, you need this application, you need a third-party application to drop files into iDOS 2, into its application library folder. And, you know, from there, you can set it up to run whatever you want to run. Okay? So, yeah, if you want to play... any of the Ultima games from 1 through 8 on basically any Apple I device, you're going to want to look at iDOS 2. If you have an older Apple I device that maybe isn't supported for iOS 8, iDOS 1, or just iDOS as it's called, might be the better one to look for, because I think it's older. It hasn't been updated in a while, so it should run on some of that older hardware. Apple is kind of notorious for forcing obsolescence. So, that, but yeah, that is the way to go. And that is the way to do it. And there is a write-up on how to copy files into it, and it's good for iDOS and iDOS 2. It works the same way, either way. So, yeah, there will be a, there's a write-up on the codex. It's, you know, you can almost, if you scroll down to the bottom of the codex, in the footer of the site, there's actually a list, it's called What You've All Been Reading, and you'll almost always see this article on that list, because it kind of lists the most popular posts for the day.
Second on the list at the moment.
Yes, it is. Second on the list at the moment. And, yeah, just follow that information, and you, too, can run any of the Ultima games you care to on your iDevice. and like I say, those instructions will work for the original iDOS app as well, which should run better on the older hardware. One other note, though, before we walk away from iOS and move on to... other devices. There is a port of Xalt for iOS. I've put up a couple of articles about this. Actually, they're looking for a pixel artist right now to do some new icons for their interface. So I'll be including a link to that in the show notes as well. this is actually also being developed by Litchi, the same guy who does iDOS. it isn't available in the App Store yet, and will have to be more carefully approached when it is finally published to the App Store, because it's basically just going to have to be published vanilla. You're going to have to supply Ultima 7 on your own if it ever does get released. That said, you can run it on your iDevice without resorting to a jailbreak. If you're an Apple developer subscriber, you have access to Xcode. You have the ability to sideload any app. Well, at least, you know, any app, if you have the code for it, you could sideload it using Xcode. Okay. However, not all of us are Apple developer subscribers. It's just the way it goes. I used to be, but not for years. Dominus of the Exalt team and Litchi, the developer, maintain a test flight channel via which Exalt can be tested. I think the number of people who can be on it is limited, but if you happen to catch Dom in casual conversation, you know, there you go. you can help them test it. I did actually, I am on the test flight channel. I did actually have a chance to, I still have it installed actually, so I can mess around with it periodically. It actually is pretty easy to set up. And again, you can use iFunBox to copy the game files into the application. And it actually works pretty well. There was on my I don't have an iPad, or well, I do now, but it's for the kids, so I don't have Exalt on that. But like on my iPhone 5, it's a little bit small. So sometimes when you're trying to pick up keys, small things like rings or lockpicks, keys, it's a bit of a pain in the butt. But it's manageable. It's certainly manageable. And
they could add a feature like that for Ultima Online. For the classic client, you hold Control and Shift, and a tooltip appears above every character and object. Oh,
yeah, that would be handy. Actually, I don't know. They may have already built something like that in. I know Exalt has like all...
Or a button for cycling.
That would be helpful too, maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Since Ultima 7 has lots of items which you can just pick up.
That might almost be too much then, yeah, because you'd basically, you know, you'd be tabbing through, like, everything. They need to, like, yeah, they need to do some sort of, you know, almost like occlusion culling or something, you know, where it's just like, okay, well, these items here would technically be manipulable, but there's, you know, like in the armorer's shop or in the jeweler's shop, right, where there's those glass cases over top of the items. So, you know, if the game sees an item as being currently blocked from the avatar, maybe it shouldn't be part of the cycle of objects.
Maybe if you touch a zone and it covers a small radius, and from there you could just
tap. That could be it too. Or just, yeah. Yeah. That's I mean, I know Exalt has some, like... I imagine they actually are documented somewhere, but, you know, like all these little extra features that not everybody knows about. And I think they have some helper functions like that, but I don't know if they have anything, you know, quite like that. But that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm going to have to... I'll ping Dominus and ask him about that. Huh. I don't know. Am I the only iOS... former now iOS user in the group?
I do not have an Apple device myself, so I am not included in that group, at least.
I don't have any Apple device either.
I still have my iPhone. I'm kind of keeping it for the kids to play games on, because there are some really good games for kids on the iDevices. Although I'm finding actually that there are a number of them on Android as well. Not everything, though. A couple of my kids' favorite applications right now, which are actually music-focused apps, are only available. Yes! There's a great little thing called Tokaband that's only available right now on Apple devices. Tokaboka, the developer, have been porting a number of their games to Android, but that one hasn't made the jump yet. Oh, and I see, yeah, Dan, I see Gridia Dragon just dropped a link about Nintendo will put out 5 mobile games by April 2017. We're going to save that one for a little bit here, because we'll...
Yeah, and one of them will be nice. By the end of this year.
With Japanese... Oh, they're collaborating with DNA. Nice. Those guys do make a ton of games. Unfortunately, one of them is Kim Kardashian of Hollywood. Which is listed as an RPG on the iOS App Store. Yeah.
Unintelligible noises.
There was a great tweet to that. If
that name, that genre, many people have just grabbed the name of the genre and tagged it on many games, which are
I know.
Not really RPGs.
I put an article up about this because the tweet was too good to pass up. Matthias Warch, I hope I didn't just butcher his name there. I think he's still at LucasArts or whatever it is now within the Disney family. Could be wrong about that, but I think that's where he is. Put out a tweet where, you know, like he took a screenshot basically of, you know, the top selling RPG games or the top selling games in the RPG category on his iPhone. You know, he just, like, clicked into the App Store. And, it's like, you know, yeah, Kim Kardashian Hollywood and Game of War Fire Age, the Kate Upton game. Although I guess she's out as the spokesmodel now. They've hired Mariah Carey instead, apparently. But, you know, like, stuff like that, right? Dragon Veil, maybe, was the third one, I forget. But, you know, his comment was just like, we are the children of Ultima and wizardry. It's just like, yeah, I think he managed to work that one in as well too. I can't remember the full quote.
And Bard's Tale, I remember
that.
Yeah,
it was just, you know, yeah, it's like such a lament. And it is. It's just like, really, really, really. But at least there's stuff like, you know, The Witcher 3 and well, I think Piranha Bytes actually just announced that they're working on some new thing, new RPG, open worldy type thing. And there were a number of open world RPGs, or, well, more or less open world RPGs shown off at E3. I mean, you had Mass Effect, which I gather is supposed to essentially be like an open world kind of thing. I remember reading an article where they talked about the design of it being, you know, you're going from planet to planet, but it's a seamless transition. So effectively kind of that open world experience. Horizon Zero Dawn, was another gorgeous looking one. So fortunately the genre is not completely dead, but for right now it seems to kind of be a write-off on mobile. What do you do?
The other day I downloaded a game. The description and the web page said it was an RPG.
No,
when
come
I installed
on.
And played it, it was a platformer. Side scroller.
I mean, okay, like,
listen, what?
I mean, you can.
It was even stage based.
Oh,
you started on a level and crossed from one point to the end of the level, killing bad guys and gaining experience, and then you hit the goal, and oh, now there's a flag on the map marking that you passed that level, and that opens a path to the next level.
By that logic,
and
what, Super Mario 3 is an RPG?
I do not think it means.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just need. Someone should just pay Wallace Shawn to just, you know, yeah, yell RPG a whole bunch of times. Just use that. And then yeah, we'll get Mandy. Then we'll just splice in Mandy Patinkin. There we go. I've seen a few like that, and I mean, to be fair, some games have actually come close. Like Trine, for example, was It's a side scroller, but you know, it's definitely, it feels a little more like an RPG. But you know, certainly the idea of just a level-based side scroller with sort of this overworld map. I mean, by that logic, Super Mario 3 is an RPG.
I think it one of the games that could be at fault here is Zelda 2 for the NES. That game is a side scroller, and you level up and stuff, and you get items. There's an overworld map, and you enter towns, but everything when you enter a town or a dungeon is a side scroller. And you jump and swing your sword and kill monsters, get experience.
Yeah. I suppose we'll have to do an episode or another. I know we've kind of come back to this discussion of what is an RPG. We might have to do another episode on that. but if we are... we are talking about Ultima on the go. We're talking about, you know, putting a genuine RPG back onto your damn mobile device. So, you know, get yourself...
Yeah, speaking of that, I was really disappointed when Quest for the Avatar
was canceled. When Ultima Forever... Yeah.
Or the Android. Waiting for the Android port, and then I saw they released the Dungeon Keeper Mobile... And said, hey, why, if they already released Dungeon Keeper Mobile for Android, then why haven't they released the Quest for the Avatar for Android?
That was just a genuinely heartbreaking affair all around. And I mean, it was kind of one of those things, you know, the project was nearly killed off more times than was reasonably fair. You know, EA tried to kill the project two or three times. It kind of kept going because... Well, I mean... You know, like, it started as a spare time thing, right? You know, the team was not really even being paid for their work on it. Not that they're... You know, I don't think not that Mythic really paid by the hour, but still, like, it was kind of just, you know... At best, it was a 20% project, you know? It was a little side project. I mean, Mythic at the time was neck-deep in trying to keep the Warhammer thing going, and they were helping out on SWTOR, because, like, every EA studio that had any MMO experience was helping out on SWTOR. Granted, The Old Republic's a good game, but, you know, huge amount of resource consumption. I mean, I remember, you know... the first time going to the Mythic studio and, you know, being ushered into the little back room where they were working on Ultima Forever. And, you had to walk past, you know, that was like, you know, 5-6 guys on that team, right? Just a small little cluster of people. And you had to walk through this room of like, you know, 20 odd developers busily building assets and areas for the Old Republic. It's a good thing they made me sign an NDA, because I just saw a lot of cool stuff actually being worked on. So, you know, it started out as a passion project with a really small team, and then at some point it kind of, you know, in a lot of ways, it actually kind of followed the Ultima 9 trajectory as outlined to me by... Well, a lot of the discussion publicly, I've had two major discussions about this. Okay, one more time. I've had two major discussions about this. one publicly with Bill Randolph, the interviews on the Codex. Awesome guy to talk to. Awesome interview. You know, just really great rundown of the history of Ultima 9, its development, and all the issues there. But I actually have also I've had the chance to kind of, you know, get some information from Ed Del Castillo. That's mostly off the record by request. You know, you know, the basic impression I got from both men was that you know, this was a project, I mean, you know, it started, obviously, you know, coming off of Ultima 8. there was initially, you know, sort of ramping enthusiasm for it because they did want to, you know, end the Ultima series definitively. And then, of course, Ultima Online happened, and all the team went away from it. But when they came back to Ultima 9, EA kind of got into this bipolar mentality about it, because on one hand they wanted Origin to just be like all online all the time, you know, just make MMOs, keep this thing running, don't bother with that other thing. But at the same time, for a while there, they also wanted it to, like, okay, fine, sure, make Ultima 9, it's going to be this epic fantasy, we're just going to, like, the series is going to go out with a blast, have all the budget you need. And then actually on his way out the door, Ed basically, you know, said to Bill and possibly some other people, they don't actually have faith in this game. They are going to cut corners. They are going to pare it back. They are going to cut it. You know, watch out. And that's ultimately what did in fact happen. So, and Ultima Forever kind of followed this similar trajectory, because, you know, it was a passion project when I found it. It was kind of barely limping along. It was literally being sustained on love alone. You know? And then all of a sudden it was like, there was this hype about it, you know, well, this could be like the RPG on mobile. And it was actually an excellent mobile RPG. The free-to-pay, you know, the free-to-play thing was kind of a pain in the ass. Sure, granted. But the overall game, its mechanics, its design, how it played, it was an excellent RPG for mobile. Like, that was how to do it. short of, like, you know, I mean, obviously you can port Baldur's Gate if you want to, right? That's been done too. And obviously, you know, that is an excellent game. Baldur's Gate 2, Icewind Dale, those have been ported as well. Those are excellent games, and they are, you know, RPG. But, I mean, for an RPG that was specifically built for mobile, Ultima Forever, it was great in terms of its mechanics and overall gameplay. And, you know, even the story was engaging. It was nice to wander around Britannia again. It's one of the only games where I think, you know, I've come upon someone offering me a moral dilemma that I actually had to stop and scratch my head at. You know, like, I can play through Dragon Age and Mass Effect, and it's just like, yeah, I don't need to think about this stuff. Probably because I've, you know, already done the whole examination of conscience thing when I was younger. I've figured a lot of this stuff out before already for myself, who I am as a person. And so, you know, when I come across these things in, like, the Dragon Ages and the Mass Effects, just like, click. You know, I don't have to think about it. Ultima Forever, though, they actually did stop me up a couple times, and I'm just like, whoa, this is deeper than I expected. And for a while there was, like, this great hype behind it, and EA was willing to put resources behind it, because it's like, this could be, like, one of the this could be, like, a platform game for iOS, for mobile. And then that all just kind of went away. So
I found the trailer was, for me, it was emotionally moving. The last part where they say, where the,
ooh, that gave me shivers.
Welcome back, Avatar.
I know, right?
That moved me emotionally.
Yeah, no, I we still on? Yeah, okay, we're still on this. Everything just got really quiet there all of a sudden. I remember playing it. Well, I mean, like, I remember I was there on the last day, right? Like, I was there basically almost right up until the server shut down. And, I'm still glad that I was there. But I kind of also wish that I hadn't been, because it was heartbreaking. To, you know, it was basically me, and then I was able to hook up with Fenix, you know, from the Wiki team. He rented an iPad for the day, just to play. And, you know, him and me teamed up for a good few hours. I mean, I just holed up in a Starbucks and I played for 8-10 hours at least. And then Fenix was there for a lot of it, and we adventured and we explored and we chased this plot down as far as we could. And you know, like there was, it was a, it kind of had a lackluster beginning as stories go, but you know, by the time you're neck deep in it, it was an engaging story. It just, you know, and again, the gameplay was just, it was really solid. Just, yeah. So it's heartbreaking that that one wasn't forever and didn't make the transition to other platforms. I really actually do wish that, you know, part of this podcast would be saying, oh, and by the way, if nothing else, go download that game. Because,
yeah. If only.
If only. I still have the alpha client installed on one of my computers. And I still periodically dive into the game files, see if I can find anything interesting. But. So, alright, anyways.
Back to what we can
back do. On task. Leaving. Yes. Leaving iOS behind. Let's talk about Android. Okay? Android gets a little bit more interesting. First off, tons more options for DOSBox on Android. Alright? Now, I'm going to go a little bit. If you're looking at the show notes, I'm going to go a little bit out of order on this one. Just because I want to cover off some of the free options first. Some of these have been around a long time. And some of them have not been updated in a very long time. ADOSBox. Okay. ADOSBox was one of the first DOSBox clients I discovered when I was looking for this on Android. Okay. It has not been updated since 2011. And it's current version is 2.5. So it's, you know, very beta. It works okay-ish, or it worked okay-ish the last time I messed with it. But, I mean, obviously it's a few years out of date, so I don't know if it's still viable. Okay? And, as we're going to see here, there are some better options coming up. There's also GDOSBox. Also free, I believe. it's current-ish. Its last update was mid-June of this year. Okay. So it has, you know, Android 5 support. But, you know, the consensus seems to be that it works a little bit better than a DOSBox. But it is still rather experimental. And, you know, so it's not... The price is right if you don't want to drop any money on it. but the functionality is maybe not, you know, the best that DOSBox could be. And this brings us to... there's one other... Yeah, well, in some respects you do, yeah. So there's another one called, now here we're kind of getting more into the paid version. So there's one called AnDOSBox. I've not tested this one myself. It hasn't been updated since 2012. So, probably I would advise against dropping $3.99 on it. And I think that's the Canadian price. So I don't know what it would be in USD or Euro. But, so it's a few years out of date, but the consensus does seem to be that it's a little bit better than either A or G DOSBox. But, the two that I really want to focus on, first off, there's one called Magic DOSBox or Magic Box. Okay. This one was actually recommended by someone on the Shroud of the Avatar forums who, was, you know, he posted a thread about getting Ultima 5 running in it. it actually has two versions. There's a free version, which is a little bit limited in its functionality, and then there's the full paid version. But at least, you know, the free version's there. You can try it out. And actually, the Google App Store does have, like Google Play does have a refund policy Can't remember the exact terms and stipulations of it, but, you know, it's a thing. It exists. I have to admit, I'm a little bit lukewarm on Magic Box at the moment. It actually does seem to be more full-featured overall, and in particular, it gives you tons of control over your on-screen controls. It's a fully customizable interface. Now, that being said, actually figuring out how to set up an interface can be a bit of a chore. Some of its control widgets are a bit obtuse, and how to set them up is not easy, not readily apparent. Okay? So, that one comes recommended by a few people on the Shroud of the Avatar forums. It does indeed seem to be the most full-featured and indeed, you know, the most overall powerful of the DOSBox clients that's available. Right now I'm not sold on it, but that could just be because I haven't had enough time to explore it. Okay. Then there is the one that is my current favorite. And this is called DOSBox Turbo. It's by a company called Fishstix. One of the things I really like about this is they have really great support for absolutely positioned mouse control. Now, what that means, basically, is that if I tap the screen, that's where the mouse clicks. Okay? So what this does is that, you know, it actually makes Ultima 6 run beautifully as a touchscreen game because, you know, the avatar is just always moving towards wherever I'm pushing my finger. and I can use, like, the interface buttons of the Ultima 6 interface to then interact with the world. The keyboard options aren't necessarily great, although I did re-download the hacker's keyboard, which comes with, like, the control and alt buttons. So I'm going to have to see if that one will work in conjunction with this. Some of its on-screen overlays aren't really the best. One nice thing that it does have, it actually has both a free and a paid version. But one nice thing that it also has is that if you have the paid version, there's also a free app that they release called the DOSBox Manager. And what this is it's basically a way to, you launch the manager and you can create shortcuts for all of the games that you've installed on your phone. But more than that, you can actually define custom settings for each of them. So for each, app, you can individually define how you want to handle cycles, how you want to handle sound, how you want to handle, you know, VGA or glide support if you want that. How you can you can define the default control interface. Really granular control. You can customize your experience per game.
Yeah, no kidding. Which
is really, really handy, I find. So that's currently why it's my favorite, just because it does, it provides it's very easy to do this. I think Magic actually lets you do some of that as well, but DOSBox Turbo makes it very, very easy because it's all just, you know, menu driven through, you know, Android itself, right? Very, very simple to get it up and running. So those are the various options that I've found for Android for running DOSBox games or for running DOS games. like I say, some of them will obviously work better than others. For the free version, GDOSBox might be one to focus on, or you could try the free versions of DOSBox Turbo or Magic Box. but I'm actually just going to come right out and say it. I mean, for the iOS, both of the recommendations there are paid apps. For Android, you have the option at least of trying them free and seeing if they work for you. But by all, you know, really, if they do work for you and you can, you know, spare a couple of $3, throw it into the pot. Because both of these apps do seem really, really powerful. They are very well developed. The developers are responsive, especially the Magic Box guy. definitely, you know, worth putting a little bit of money towards them for their efforts, because, you know, these are the great games. these are the, you know, this is our, for those of us who maybe are younger than 40, this is like, you know, there's a lot of great games from sort of the golden era that we experienced that these games will run, and these support them very, very well. There's one other thing I want to talk about, and there is another game client, okay? It's called Exagear RPG. That's E-X-A Gear RPG. And I actually tripped over it a few months back, so November 2014. It's billed as a PC RPG emulator for Android. And I'm not actually sure of the exact emulation technology used. They don't really talk about this anywhere. They have support for Fallout 1 and 2, Might and Magic 6 through 8. They're actually able to support Diablo 1 and Diablo 2. Now, what's significant about some of these games? Some of them came out for DOS, but Diablo 2 was never released for DOS. It is a Windows game, okay? So this emulator, whatever tech it's using underneath it, supports Windows games. I know this because
Arcanum is a Windows game.
Say
too.
What?
I have Arcanum, and it's the Windows game. I see it here.
Yes, I think it does run Arcanum too, doesn't it? So here's the thing.
Sure. It's Arcanum.
Maybe it may. I can't remember. It has the thing about Exagear. Okay, is it's payware, and it's a little bit more expensive. But the way that it works is that it basically, you buy control schemes, okay? And it has a bunch of different control schemes that are tailored for different games, okay? And some of them are quite expensive. You know, you might pay, like, I think I $7.99 for some of the control schemes. I haven't been able to get Ultima 9 running in it yet. But as time permits, I'm going to keep trying. I did actually try to run some of the DOS-based Ultimas in it. No luck there. Ultima 9, I get an error message. You know, I get an error window, actually, where the game fails to load. Now, I mean, there's any number of things that could be causing that, right? It's, you know... and I don't know if it's possible to get Ultima 9 up and running in it. However, I mean, this does seem to be tailored to run Windows applications. Granted, I think most of the ones I mentioned are 2D. Although, I'm not sure. I thought maybe by Might and Magic 8 they would have incorporated 3D technology as well. I'd have to go back
and
actually look.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one
myself. Yeah, I genuinely can't remember. But, Exagear RPG, it's free to download, it's free to use for 3 days, and then after that point, one of the control schemes has to be purchased. So, I'll probably take that step at some point and just kind of keep hacking away at it, trying to get it to work.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, I would be genuinely curious to see if I could actually get Ultima 9 running within this thing. And I mean, I don't know, like maybe it only supports, you know, games that support OpenGL or D3D, maybe it doesn't have Glide support or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I'll invest some time in this certainly as
time permits.
Yeah,
certainly worth the effort at least.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously not everyone likes Ultima 9. I do. But I think it would actually be, you know, genuinely cool to see if I could actually get all 9 Ultimas running on my my LG G4. That would
exactly.
be, I think, really, really great.
And remember, I didn't skip Hitlop.
Yeah. Well, you can't... Oh, well, you can't really skip... Wait, you did Hithloth the long way, didn't you? You didn't take the quick exit.
Yeah, long way.
Oh, that is a brutal piece of dungeon. I mean, I praise Ultima 9 for its dungeons because each one has its own very unique character. They're all very well built. It's actually really cool. But... I despise it. Just like, oh my. That is like, you know, that is the only part
wait,
of that
wait,
game
okay,
I
so
do.
Hang on,
it's
so
just
hang
like,
on.
Oh, it's the Numagencia part.
And then, wait.
Yeah. Wrong is great. Despise
is
a fun dungeon. It really is. Wrong is actually really great too. Mimics notwithstanding. Deceit's all right. The Abyss is amazing. The Abyss is just so trippy. It's wonderful. Shame's kind of cool. Destard is kind of cool. You know, like, but, you know, each dungeon in a game has its very unique character, you know? They're all very different, and they're very appropriate to
they are.
Their virtue. I mean, except for Hithloth, because, of
it's
course...
It's the sewer level! Nobody likes the sewer level!
Area. I know, it's just... but and it's just, like, those damn fish, and then it's just... ah. Yeah, no, I just... You get through Buccaneers, and it's just like, oh, it's the Magencia part. God, let's just be over... But it can't. You gotta go through. Kudos, though, for going through the long way, Gridia, because that's, you know, or sadomasochistic, one of the two.
Or both.
Yeah, or both.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, you know it's bad when, you know, the developers are just like, this dungeon's pretty hardcore. We're just gonna put
shortcut.
A bailout over here. Yeah.
Optional.
Although the part getting to it is, yeah. Although the part getting to it is really cool with like the.
There's a saying pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
Yeah, well, that would be illustrative of
very much
that
so.
Particular maxim. oof. But yeah, like it's I don't know, it's. It's funny because, you know, by the end, it actually has some really neat design, like the transparent tunnels, and you can see, like, the water and everything happening all around. That's actually really cool to see visually. It's just that you've gone through hell twice by the time you get there. Okay. But, anyways. Yeah. Props to the dungeon designers of Ultima 9. That was really good. But, yeah, I have this thing. I mean, I have to have Ultima 6 up and running on every
shock,
device
surprise,
that I
amazement.
Own. So, you know. Yes, I know, right? Like, why? Who? Me, what? Me? Yeah. By the way, the speaker on the LG G4 is pretty great. Despite being a single speaker on the back, pretty great speaker. So, there's that. But yeah, no, I've already got it up and running. And like I say, with DOSBox Turbo, if you flip the mouse into absolute positioning... and then, you know, actually select mouse controls as opposed to one of like the joystick options. It's actually pretty good. You know, I mean, obviously I would still need to pull up an on-screen keyboard to type in dialogue options, but, for movement around and even for using like the interface buttons, the absolute positioned mouse is
yeah the Ultima 6 pretty effective. The Ultima 6 engine it actually does all the others seems pretty much ideal for that.
You know what it is, or at least you know. I mean, the thing about it is, DOSBox has never really been. Only in like just recently have you know people started figuring out how to make it work with touch. If you download like the PC version of DOSBox, like the Windows version of DOSBox, and you put it on a touchscreen enabled monitor, ugh, terrible. because SDL doesn't support that. Not without a lot of trickery. But the guys handling it on mobile, some of them have really started to figure that out, and they've really nailed it with DOSBox Turbo, so it actually does control very, very well. I find, though, with Ultima 6 that I actually have to set cycles lower than I would on my PC. Like, when I'm playing it on my PC, I'll set cycles 8,000, 10,000. here, I'll set them at about 4,000, because I actually do have to slow the avatar down a little bit in order to, you know, maintain a degree of control as he's following my finger around Britannia. But there you go. All right. So that's Android. Again, just to recap, lots of DOSBox options, some current, some not. Be sure you check the, you know, last release dates. There is a current one that's free. There's actually three free options that are all current. There's GDOSBox, DOSBox Turbo Free, and MagicBox Free. so, you know, give any of those a try. But, you know, do consider springing for the paid versions, because the developers working on these, they're doing some pretty great stuff. Final comments before we move on?
One thing I remember, there's a port of ScumVM for Android. For the adventure games.
True, there is actually. Yes.
That's the
yes, there is a port of ScumVM.
The adventure games.
Yep, no, and you can get some good stuff running in ScumVM, you definitely can.
King's Quest.
I don't know if they support the Do they? Yes. Do they support the Quest for Glory games?
I'm not sure.
You could probably get those running in DOSBox easily. That's what enough. GOG But certainly uses. King's Quest.
GOG runs those through DOSBox.
Yeah. King's Quest 6. Awesome. Awesome game. Maybe I just like things that are 6.
I'm sensing a pattern.
And I remember Police Quest
3. It doesn't 3. Carry over to other series.
Remember Police Quest 3. For the first thing, that lunatic on the lake was on his underwear, and you had to hit him with you had to beat him and then put the handcuffs on him and drive him to the station.
Ah, you know, it's Police Brutality Simulator.
There we go.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Be careful, you might end up an item on Topaz.
Actually, the lunatic went over you, and you had to defend yourself. And so the lunatic goes over you, and he's about to punch you in the face, and you hit him on the stomach, mm-hmm. and he just falls... And then you put the handcuffs on him and arrest.
Yeah. It was fair enough. I mean, you know, it's just that, you know, the social context surrounding this has changed, right? Like, you know, we do scrutinize the police a lot more now, and there are a lot more cases where, you know, you do have... at least initially, you know, I mean, sometimes the officers involved do end up being vindicated once, you know, like dash cam videos and things come to light, but there does seem to be more of a focus now on, you know, police overextending their... So it's just, you know, it's just where the culture is right now, so it's kind of funny to me talking about this, because, you know, I do see stories like this on Popat and Ars Technica and, you know, all these different sites that follow it. So it's just, you know, shift in the cultural context, that's a really hot button issue in North America right now, at least. But yeah. No, ScumVM, the Dig. I love the Dig. So, yeah. I should actually download ScumVM and get the Dig running in it, because I think it supports the Dig. And maybe the mind you, I know they did a mobile port of The Longest Journey. I don't think ScumVM supports that, but maybe they released it for Android. That is an amazing adventure game. Definitely, I made the mistake of playing The Longest Journey in my parents' basement without benefit of headphones. I invested in headphones soon thereafter. Especially after the Burns Flipper sequence. I work next door to, an oil pipeline operations center. Okay? And Burns Flipper is worse than that. that is a character who just punctuates
with
profanity.
He was memorable, all right. He was a character in every sense of the word.
Yeah. Yeah, he sticks in mind for sure. Yikes.
I just remembered when I was playing Ultima 7 Part 2, Serpent Isle. And we had, at that time, we had the computer at the living room. And there was my mom over there, and then I was with Frigidatri in her room, and then she gets naked. My mom was right there.
I pity you. See, most of my Ultima games came from my grandpa, and he was a PhD electrical engineer, so he's like it was actually weird going out there just last week. It was weird going out there because, this is a man that, my entire interest in computers came from him. And he was a avid programmer, avid gamer, from like the time I was in diapers and before. Okay. Much of what I know about computers has, been taught to me by this man. And I've always kind of held him in very, very high regard. And I still do hold him in very, very high regard when it comes to most things. It was genuinely a surreal experience to be out there and talking with him. He was talking about, setting up basically a public computer, for the library at the church that, he and my grandmother attend. He was talking about how he had gone about setting it up, and he was wondering if there was more he could do. And this is my bread and butter at this point, because, I'm all about the cybersecurity stuff, and I try and stay abreast of a lot of the, solutions and technology that exist for people to put themselves in a better cybersecurity posture. And so it was weird to me to actually be now speaking to my grandfather with, a bit of an air of authority myself, actually be the one who had knowledge to impart. That was genuinely surreal, but it was a good conversation, anyways, digression. But, most of our Ultima games came from him, so, he would play through them first and then pass them on to us, so I'd get them a few months after release. No big deal. But, he would then, kind of comment. Always with the comments about, stuff that you could find in the game. He's just like, well, stay away from those gypsies. And, or, you know, like, he'd be just like, oh, yeah, and there's this one part where, you know, you
Wanda.
find the mayor in the wrong bed.
And the colony in the bee cave. Yeah, just
things like that, right? Like, he would, you know... Exactly. It's, you know, my... Yeah. Things like that. So, I mean, you know... But my parents were never terribly attentive to our gaming, so... Until they started hollering out profanities, and I had the volume way too high. Anyways. yeah. So that happened. Alright. Well, my goodness, it's getting a little bit late, so let's continue on here a little bit. Touching briefly on BlackBerry, I mean, I don't have one, so I can't really speak to this, but there does seem to be an outdated DOSBox app available for BlackBerry. The last update date seems to have been late 2012, but there does seem to be a DOSBox client on the BlackBerry App Store. Now, that said, I mean, I know BlackBerries these days can also run a lot of Android apps, so they may have access to MagicBox or DOSBox Turbo. And I think there's actually a third app store as well. It's kind of an unofficial one. I don't know much about it. Again, not being a user. So, all I can really say for BlackBerry is that there do seem to be some DOSBox options available. But I have no idea if they work, how they work, or how one goes about adding applications to them. But there are some options there. Now, talking about Nintendo a little bit earlier on, there actually is, and I assume that this requires some trickery to install, but there's actually something called DSX86.
And there's a DOSBox for
3DS. There is actually a... Yeah, there's a PC emulator for at least the Nintendo DS. Yeah, I assume it runs on the 3DS as well. I imagine it requires being able to install homebrew applications.
You require a special card, which is basically a hack. It can be obtained from the internet.
Okay. If you have any links on how to install that, Gradia, like if you can find a quick tutorial online somewhere, by all means, just like shoot that to me on Facebook or something, and I can include it in the show notes. I mean, I found the DSX86 webpage, which does have some basic notes on like the hardware that's emulated and whatever, but... and like compatibility, but I don't have a Nintendo handheld, so I can't really speak to this beyond noting its existence. So if you know of any resources for how to get it installed and how to add games to it, by all means, just blast me a link.
RS4 and card. What's the name? R4 card.
Okay. R4 card?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they do seem to be, yeah, some sort of like custom memory card for 3DS. Yeah. You can buy them separately. Actually, there's a Canadian provider here, r4card.ca. Buy original R4 cards in Canada. R4i, SDHC, 3DS, RTS, Sky 3DS for 3D games. Interesting. I'm going to just drop a link to that Google search in the show notes because, yeah. All right, cool. And just quickly touching on that other great vendor of portable gaming hardware, the PSP, Sony, apparently there is a DOSBox port for PSP as well. Let me just see if the website is still active. PSPDOSBox.co.uk. It is a compatibility list for the PSP port. And you can... The download link is, in fact, still active. It's a zip file. And the list. Let's see the list. Ooh. Let's go you. Just click on... Ooh, hello. Well, there we go. On PSPDOSBox.co.uk, on their compatibility list... They list Ultima, Ultima 2, Ultima 3, Ultima 4, and Ultima 5. All are flagged as playable, nice. Good speed. There are no... Yes. Now, they do seem for some games to offer pre-made batch files. None for the Ultimas. But evidently, Ultimas 1 through 5 will run at good speed on your PSP. So you know. And here's another link for the show notes. Done and done. So that's cool. Alright, and yeah. So, Gradia, if you have any notes on how to get this stuff up and running on Nintendo, I'll look for it too, as time permits. And if I can include something in the show notes... Then I will do so. And, you know, those of you with DSs, 3DSs, what have you, PSPs, you too may be able to enjoy some fine Ultima things.
The R4 cards are very common in Mexico, but I haven't dived into it. They usually use them for putting game ROMs in it and playing for getting games illegally, playing them on the DS and 3DS, so I haven't been much interested in it.
Fair enough. Looking here at r4card.ca, so this is the Canadian provider for them, you can get... Well, there seem to be some R4s that are basically... It looks like they're basically just an R4 adapter for an SDHC card. So, you know, you can grab the adapter plus a 2GB for $27.78. They sell all the way up to, it looks like, 32GB for $52.95. And then there are what they call their Sky 3DS cards, which actually also come bundled with SD cards, micro SD cards. Those are more expensive, starting at $92, going as high as $126. And it looks, some of these may come, I think the difference is that some of these must come with games. Yeah, some of these must come with games. Because I'm seeing like Mario 3D Land here and a couple of other things. Luigi's Mansion 2, 13-in-1. And there's the R4 Gold cards. Which come along with, yeah, micro SD again, up to 32GB. Yeah. All right. So, there does seem to be places to buy them, and some of these do seem to come preloaded, I guess, with a number of games. Super Mario Bros. 2, Luigi's Mansion. I'm assuming... This is all above board. I don't want to be promoting piracy here, but evidently this is a thing that exists.
Yeah, told you. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you're talking about a memory card here, right? Like, even if, you know, r4card.ca is actually permitted to distribute games preloaded onto these cards, which could be the case... I don't know. I mean, it's easy enough to see how, yeah, you could just preload a game onto the card and pass it around to all your buddies, right? let's face it, we all grew up in the era of 3.5-inch diskettes, and that happened all the time, right? So, interesting. But yeah, I assume one of these would be needed to sideload an Ultima game, and indeed the DOSBox client, onto your Nintendo device. So, well, I think that brings us more or less to, that's the end of what I had, at any rate. Does anyone else have anything they want to throw in here? Anything we've missed or further commentary?
Nothing from my end.
Well, I think it's more like a side comment. I think these games are the Ultima games, even the oldest ones, are still very popular. I mean, in the office, I remember I once mentioned about Ultima games, and one of my coworkers said, "Hey, I love the Ultima Underworld 1. I didn't like 2 because I think the story for Ultima Underworld 1 is more solid and I liked it better." And then we talked about the other Ultimas and he mentioned Ultima 1 and he found that one very difficult. And I showed him how to play more effectively on it. And I saw that several people, even young people, knew about the Ultima games and were playing one or two of them. I really found it weird because when I was in elementary school, no one knew about it. And I was...
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I was the only one my group which had a computer. No one else had. And I even had a $3,000 laser printer. Next Silent Writer LC-890, I think it was. Really huge thing.
Yeah, that's sorry. So in the next room, well, you know, I mean, similar experience here. Like, I mean, I grew up playing these games, like Ultima and well, primarily Ultima, some of the Quest for Glories, things like that. You know, my friend across the alleyway, his dad was Apple all the way, so. Totally different set of games. Now that's where I was introduced to stuff like Might and Magic, so I certainly am not complaining. But, you know, or Marathon, I mean, you know, everybody else was playing Doom, and here's me and Tiago playing Marathon, which was like everything Doom was, but more advanced and better. And actually is still like the best story I've ever seen in an FPS. But, you know, yeah, it's totally like, you know, nobody's played the games I've played. And then, you know, my coworker's just like, conversation I have with my coworker today, because he's like, you know, he's a big Warcraft fan, World of Warcraft fan. So he's really stoked for the Warcraft movie. But then, you know, he was kind of complaining to me. He's just like, this is Duncan Jones guy. What the? And I'm just like, oh yeah, Duncan Jones. I know, he's a huge Ultima fan.
Ouch!
What?
The other day we were talking about Wing Commander and then about the video cinematics for Wing Commander 3. And then that same coworker said, "Hey, I love the cinematics of Wing Commander 3. They are much better than the actual movie." And the kill from the movie are ugly. They're very low budget stuff against the very high quality kill Rathi from the Wing Commander 3 cinematics.
Yeah, well, and especially because, you know, like, they changed a whole bunch, and, you know, I don't know. I was watching the Wing Commander movie about a month ago. It's actually, I think it's gotten, I find it better now that I'm rewatching it. I mean, the acting is certainly meh at best, but it's overall, like, it's not, I've seen worse. I've seen way worse. I'm just trying to search for something here. Looks like The Longest Journey has not come out.
Sad day!
Pity. Makes me sad. Oh well. But, I want an N there. There we go. N, thank you. Okay. Right, well. Okay. Right, so, there was something. Oh, and one final note, because, you know, we want as many people to enjoy the magic of Ultima as possible. Obviously, you know, if you download any of these options, iDOS, DOSBox Turbo, PSP DOSBox, whatever, where do you get the Ultima games from? Well, GOG sells them all. They're available as a digital download. You know, so by all means, just that is, I think, the easiest way to get your hands on them. And the nice thing about GOG is, the mere fact of signing up for an account there gives you access to 4 entries in the Ultima canon. You get a Calibeth. Now, granted, it's a bit, you know, it's older, but still. 1979, whatever.
79.
78? Older than me. Yeah, older than me. But you get a Calibeth. You get Ultima 4. You get Savage Empire. And you get Martian Dreams. Savage Empire and Martian Dreams are, of course, built on the Ultima 6 engine. Very similar interfaces. you get those all for free. So, that's the really cool thing about this. You don't need to actually pay a cent to get at least a few of the Ultima games up and running on your mobile device. You can actually get... well, I mean, Ultima 4 is harder to play if you're approaching it from a modern viewpoint, but it is certainly still one of, like, the defining RPGs of all time. Savage Empire and Martian Dreams will be a bit easier for people to get into, you know, having a little bit more modern look and feel. Still, obviously, you know, mid-90s, but, you know, anyways, but, you know, the gameplay conventions will be more familiar to a modern gamer. But, you know, you don't have to pay a cent to get a little bit of Ultima up and running on at least your Android device. Your iOS device, you're out 99 cents for whichever flavor of iDOS you get. So there. That is... that is as many ways as I can think of to run Ultima on as many different portable devices as possible.
I just remember about a Calibeth. So, there was the port. It was an engine called Ultima Classics Revisited, which had a fully working Calibeth.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And it also had a start of work for Ultima 1. Ultima 2. But then the developer shut down the page, and I don't know if there are any archives still around.
I have beta version 0.1.2 available for Unix and Linux, and I have beta version 0.1.0 for Windows. I haven't yet restored them fully to... I still need to rebuild that download entry, but I do still have the archives. Okay.
I was thinking maybe that can be later ported to Android and the other platforms. At least the Caliban engine.
Potentially.
With the upgraded graphics.
Maybe. The thing is, I don't know if the source code's available.
The source code was available. I had access to it. I just need to find it. I might have it around my stuff. Since I was... I was one of the...
Well, the UCR page is still active on SourceForge. Files? This project has no files. Shit.
CVS? I think he didn't put any files in SourceForge, and everything was on the web page. But I remember I compiled the stuff and tested, and I helped with the intro screen and other things.
Well, if you do have anything, by all means, pass it on. I do still need to rebuild that download entry, but I will be more than happy to do so. Oh, worth noting too, for Android, there were a couple of Xalt ports for it. One was built with Java and one was more just a straight up port. But they're, yeah, well, don't rejoice too much. That was a thing that was happening years ago. And unfortunately, I was talking to Dominus about this actually today. And they're years out of date, unfortunately. So.
Well, still.
Alas. Yep. All right, so yeah, Gradia, if you can find anything about UCR, by all means, shoot it my way, because I do need to get that download entry restored. I have a lot that I still have to restore, but that would be a good one to put back in play, because that was a neat effort, if nothing else. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I think this brings us to the end, more or less, so... Always remember, if you'd like to recommend anyone for a shout-out, shoot an email to ultimacodex@gmail.com, which you can also use to suggest podcast topics, offer commentary or criticism about the episodes, or even volunteer your time as either an occasional or regular contributor to podcast sessions. I mean, we have a great time sitting around talking here. It's always nice to have other opinions on board, for sure. As well... sign up for, you know, if you're on Facebook, there's an Ultima Dragons group. If you're on Google Plus, there's an Ultima Dragons group. If you're on Twitter, hit the UDIC hashtag. It's utterly incredible, I think, that the dragons continue to thrive. Now 16-ish years, 15 and a bit, 15 and some, years after the last published single-player entry in the Ultima series. You know, we, for a group that started as, you know, this little fan club on, you know, like a third tier internet services provider, Prodigy, to have endured so long, come so far and come to so many different, social media outlets and just, you know, having found so many different ways to come together in a group and discuss. That's really, really cool. And of course, the Ultima Codex Patreon, $1 pledge gets you access to Spam, 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 Humbug episodes the day before they go live on the site. And that helps to maintain and with sufficient funding now expand the server infrastructure of the Codex. Because it's really cool what Ultima fans do. It's really cool all the things they've done. It's really cool all the things they continue to do. It is good that these are archived somewhere. I think.
You're not the only one.
And it's... and it's cool, too, that, you know... It's as much as I hate having a news backlog, it's really cool that I have a news backlog... you know, for about the things that the fans of a series that's been out of production, basically, notwithstanding one mobile game and a you know, I mean, there is still Ultima Online, but, you know, largely the series has not seen a new major entry since 1999, and I still can't keep up with all the news and whatnot surrounding it. How cool is that?
Yeah, I remember there's an MMO named Percadia, which came right before Ultima Online. The main producer for Percadia is Dr. Cat, David Shapiro.
Yes, it is.
And
he's
that game.
Yeah, he's
just
got
a revamp. They had a Kickstarter campaign to update the graphics.
They did
get some new content. And I was checking, it's been, this year is going to be their 20th anniversary. Or next year is going to be their 20th anniversary. 20 years.
Yeah, no, that's that's cool.
20 years, and I...
And yeah, Dr. Cat...
I thought 20 years, and then I thought 20 years of Furcadia. Then that means about 35 years of Ultima.
Yeah, Ultima.
Yeah, more or less. More, 79. Really. I mean, 79? Ultima, 79 is a Calibeth, right? So that's really the start.
Yeah.
I mean, the first Ultima game, you know, came out 80. So we're already at 35. Yeah.
Been a long time, long way.
And it's still, you know, it's still a phenomenon.
There are so many games of which the authors and the developers and writers mentioned that they were inspired by an Ultima game.
Totally. Well, I mean, even at the last E3, you had Todd Howard on stage, like, extolling Ultima 6, Ultima 7. I know he was also heavily influenced by the Underworld games. you know. Yeah, they're huge. I mean, if you really want to go full digital archaeology, you know, Western RPGs basically all trace back to Ultima 4. JRPGs,
Ultima 1,
huge debt to Ultima 3. Well, and Ultima 1, but Ultima 3 is kind of, I think, generally acknowledged as, you know, sort of a thing that JRPGs are hugely indebted to and influenced by. So, this series has done a lot. All right. Well, I'm looking at Audacity, and oh man, this is going to be a nearly 2-hour episode, our longest yet. Go us. But I do actually think that we should probably consider calling it an evening. How about you, but I got an early morning ahead of me. So, alrighty. Well, I think then. Alright, so, we've done the shoutouts and we've done the shillings and whatever else. So I think there's little more to be said than just, you know, good night. If you guys have sign-offs, now is a
until next time, folks.
Sound them off.
Get some good
alrighty
sleep. Be happy.
Absolutely. And be virtuous.